My name is Michelle O'Woo and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 19th of August 2009 and the time is 10:16 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
My name's Fiona Ord, I'm 35 and I currently live in Edinburgh, but I'm originally from a town called Rainbow in Australia.
How are you feeling?
Fine. I've kind of gone through a whole gamut of emotions, but at this precise moment, I'm quite calm. I think it was building up, the excitement of even just applying and then finding out I'd got a place, and then frustration that nobody in Edinburgh knew what I was talking about when I spoke about the plinth, and now complete excitement all day today, and now I'm over that and I'm just quite calm and really can't wait for my time.
How did you get down here?
I came on the train this afternoon and then the tube.
Are you across. Staying overnight?
Yeah, I'm staying now. Until Sunday, I'm staying with my friend, Dione. So we're staying a couple of nights with her and yeah, so that'll be great. So a nice long weekend in London. So.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. She's working tomorrow and Friday and then I think she's... actually going to hip hop karaoke tomorrow night in East London somewhere, and she lives on a canal boat, and so I think she's having friends over and we're going to a park to have a picnic perhaps on Saturday if the weather holds.
Can you remember how you first heard about the project?
No, I don't really know for sure. I think I perhaps saw something on the television about it, or had spoken to, maybe Leonie had said something about it, or other friends in London. But I know for one exact point was when I saw it on Charlie Brooker's TV show. He was talking about the girl that threw paper aeroplanes off at the very start, and I said to my husband then, I've applied to go on that plinth, and he didn't believe me, and then it was the next day after that I'd found out I'd got my place. So that sticks in my mind, but I'd obviously known and had applied before we'd seen that show, but I don't know when or where I'd found out about it.
Why did you think it was something you wanted to be involved with?
I think the people at my work and in Edinburgh think I'm mad if I tell them. They say, you're mad. but I think it's a really unique experience. Only 2,400 people get a chance to do this. It's out of how many million live in the UK? 56 million. That's amazing. It's incredible. That's such an opportunity. Great.
How long have you lived in Edinburgh?
Since 2002.
Is that when you came over from Australia?
No, I was in London for about 4 months before that. Then I moved to Edinburgh for about 6 months, to Belfast for about 6 months, and then came back to Edinburgh and have stayed there ever since.
So. You said earlier on before we started the interview that you worked in research. Can you tell me a bit more about your role?
Not really, just because of the sensitivity of the study. I could tell you what it is. I can't really tell you anything
That's
about
fine,
it.
Just really, yeah.
Is that okay? At the moment, I'm doing research looking to see if there's a link between dentistry and variant CJD. That's really all I can say.
It's
sorry,
fine.
Just it's a
it's
bit,
absolutely
yeah.
Fine. But you travel around quite a lot for work.
Yeah, so we go and visit different dental practices and, you know, make contact with lots of practices across the UK, but I mean, I love to travel. I mean, it's a great job for me. It's a fantastic job.
What were you doing in Australia?
I was working as a dental hygienist there, so that's kind of how I am involved in dental. But since I've been in the UK, I've done a degree in public health, and that's so it's a kind of a mixture of both of my previous work at Napier in Edinburgh.
Can you tell me a little bit about Rainbow? What kind of place is
that? Most people want to know about the name, how it got its name. It's in the northwest of Victoria. Most of the other towns around the area have Aboriginal, traditional Aboriginal Koori names. Rainbow was originally known as Rainbow Rise. And it was named because of the train station, or because of the train line, the railway line that went through. Just on the edge of Rainbow, there's a hill, a small hill called Rainbow Rise. And when they were building the tracks to come through, the hill was covered in wild flowers, all different colours, and it looked like a rainbow on this hill. And so they called initially Rainbow Rise, and then they got rid of the rise, and it just always stayed as Rainbow. We've been there, we have a farm there. My father and his father and his father, they obviously the words are dead, but they came out from England, got some land and started the farm there, and have always traditionally stayed on the farm. It's very, very dry. There's not very much water. They grow a lot of crops, wheat, barley, and sheep, but the sheep is mainly for the meat rather than for the wool. It's a very small town, and like all country towns, it's becoming quite sad and quite small. There's about 700 people, maybe. It's very, very small town.
Have you still got friends living there?
Yeah, yeah. So she's quite crazy, and it's very, I suppose, more exciting now. Just earlier this year, they had a huge reunion, 90-year reunion for the high school, and there was, you know, they had something like 12,000 people from showed up for this school reunion, and I thought it was, you know, amazing. And I didn't get an opportunity to go, but I feel with, you know, the internet and Facebook and, you know, all these different sites and emails and things like this, people can see me, you know, on the other side of the world. It's easier to stay in touch with people that, you know, perhaps in the past you were just kind of lost contact with. Yeah, so.
What was it like growing up on the farm?
Freedom, innocent, naive, I suppose. You know, I went to boarding school when I was 12, just about to turn 13, to Melbourne. That's a huge city of 3 million people. And that was a big change. But yeah, where I grew up, I suppose most of my friends had two parents, a mother and a father, and not very many split marriages, not that I knew of, no drugs or drinking or, you know, city life. And I think, you know, it's naive, but I don't, maybe innocence a better word rather than naive, you know. But say to go to a great big city, and, you know, when you're a young child and experience this is great. Not that my parents ever kept us in the country or hid us away from things, you know, we traveled quite a lot as a family. But yeah, it was a great experience, but I don't know anything different. So to say, oh, it was terrible, I mean, it wasn't terrible,
it
was great.
Did your friends go away to school as well?
No. Lots of them stayed in Rainbow. Most of them stayed in Rainbow, yeah. And then I suppose, as is traditional, most of the boys, you know, most of the guys my age stayed at home on the farm. Most of the girls left or married the guys and kind of stayed. But yeah, most of the girls really left Rainbow, yeah.
Where did you meet your husband?
In Edinburgh. In a bar. I was working in a bar, this Australian in a bar, and he was drinking in the bar, and he's from Banff, which is up north Scotland, up above Aberdeen, and he was having his kind of farewell drinks, and he was leaving Edinburgh, and then I suppose it was an old man's bar, and he was in there with other people saying, oh, I'm having my farewell drinks tonight and tomorrow night, you should come along tomorrow night to my other farewell drinks, and that would be great. And I thought, I just arrived in Edinburgh, and I thought, hey, that would be great, I could meet some people. And I just kind of went from there. So I went the next night to his farewell drinks, and then he left the next day to go back to Banff, and then we kind of didn't swap numbers or anything, it was just kind of left open. And then I was in the bar the week after we'd met, and he just called the bar to hello, and we kind of just started from there. So it was quite nice, yeah.
Just going back to tonight for a minute, what are you going to do with your hour on the trip?
I'm going to dance. My plan is to dance and dance to dance, but get other people to dance. I really want kind of to get, you know, to incorporate other people from, you know, the, I don't know what they're called, the people who look at us on the plinth. I don't know.
What do you call
them? I don't know, the watchers. Something quite evil and scary. Yeah, I'd really like them to get involved as well. So I'm dancing. I'm not a performer, I'm not a dancer, so I will be moving, perhaps is a better word, to hokey pokey pokey and time warp, things like that. I think traditional dances that have dance moves, and I think other people will know and will join in, and hopefully we'll get a fun atmosphere.
Did you have fun putting the list together?
It's quite tricky, really, because there's different things. I mean, like the hokey pokey and hokey cokey. In Australia, we know it as hokey pokey, and I've since been told it's the hokey cokey in this country. So that was interesting. And then we looked on Wikipedia and found out it's known as both things and the reasons why. So I learned a little bit of history, and but it was a good list. But list, and people would throw in ideas left, right, and center. And there's some song about, I can't think what it's called, but you have to sit on the floor and rock from side to side.
Oops, upside down.
That's the one. And I said, no, I don't think people will sit on the floor. I don't think people sit on the ground at Trafalgar Square and do this dance. I think the birdie song and things like that people would be happy to do, but not sit on the ground.
They things you would never dance to.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think when I was younger, I was like, I felt, when I was making the song, because I've got YMCA as one of the songs, and I always remember being in Melbourne with my friend Vicky, and she would go to these cheesy bars, always on a Friday after work, you know, and all the guys in suits, and she would love it and I would hate it, and they would play all these types of songs and everyone would dance and always would do the YMCA, and I would, in my rebellious, you know, teenage, young 20s, would rebel and not do it just because I didn't want to be part of this herd. And now it's really funny that I'm here and I think I want to do something to be, not to stand out and stand on the plinth by myself, do something. I want to be all-encompassing. I want other people to join in with me, you know. So I don't know why I've changed, and I sent Vicky a message saying, guess what I'm doing, and told her this story, you know, I'm going to do the YMCA, and she wrote back going, what's going on? Like, you know, you wanting to be so individual and so, you know, not one of us years ago. Why have you suddenly, not suddenly changed, but, you know, why over the years, you know, 10, 12 years, why are you suddenly wanting to incorporate other people? So, I don't know.
Do you think you have changed at all?
Yeah, God, yeah.
How old do you think?
I think... Well, growing up in the country, I suppose, made me one particular type of person. Then going away to boarding school made me a different type of person, that I was different from the people I went to primary school and my early high school with, different from the people that had always lived in Melbourne, that I went to school with, like, the, you know. And then when I started travelling, I spent 18 months in North America before I came here. And so when I was there, I was all, sounds quite, almost a bit of a novelty, like people would follow me down the street in a nice way, scary, you know, where people would hear me talking, like, and hear this Australian accent and would, you know, kind of follow me and ask me things and come and have dinner and do this and kind of really nice things. And then I thought, this is great as a young traveller, this is amazing, people do go out of their way to do these incredible nice things for you. And then when I came to the UK, it was a little bit different. There's lots of travellers here, there's lots of Australians especially, and I found it really not difficult, but really different, that, you know, I couldn't just say, guess what, I'm Australian, and have all these amazing things happen to me, you know. And I thought, I have to really grow as a person. So I think I have all these different kind of aspects of my life that kind of, I don't know, like, I've not always stayed in the one place. It's made me this type of person. I think I've grown, and I suppose had to change to adapt with my surroundings and my, I suppose, my experiences, you know, help you form the person that you turn into.
What is important now for you, do you think, in life?
In life? In the next, like, in a time span? Or just in my life in general at the moment? My contract at work's coming to an end, so that's obviously forming my mind that I get a new job quite soon. I thought about holding a sign, like, I need a job, you know. I suppose that's quite important. I'd like to have a family, and that's quite important, and I'm getting older and I think I'm running out of time to do that. But then I feel there's all these other things pressing on me, that I'm about to be employed and I have a job, we don't have a house, we don't, you know, we just rent, you know, I'm running out of time to have a baby, you know, there's kind of all these pressing things. But I think it's really important for me now is just to be happy. Like, I have a really great life, I love Mark and we have a fantastic time in Edinburgh, you know, we're really in love and we have great friends and we have a nice time. But, you know, there's always, I think I always want more. I can't be happy in the moment, you know, I want something more all the time, you know.
Where do you think that comes from?
I don't know. I kind of I thought that was something to do with travelling, but I don't know that it is. Like, I'd get somewhere, say, like, for the first time I'd see Trafalgar Square, and I'd be so excited, I'm going to see it, and I'd get there, and I'd spend, like, 5 minutes ago, right, what's next, you know? I wouldn't just, I'm not happy to just sit and take it all, and I go, this is amazing, this, I mean, it is, but at the same time, I went, right, what's the next, I don't know, I think that's my dad a lot. He's very, come on, let's, you know, you've got a really short time on this planet, and get to. But I think that's a lot to do with his upbringing, that he spent a long time on the farm, you know, much longer, you know, until he was 50, he pretty much stayed on the farm, and they moved to Melbourne. So I think that's every time that they left the farm to go on holiday or to go away or whatever, he, you know, they really, not just him, Heather as well, my mum, really wanted to embrace every single moment they were away and see everything that they could, rather than maybe two things and enjoy both of them, see 10 things and, you know, see them quite quickly, because you don't know how long you've got, maybe.
Do you want to stay in Edinburgh?
Yeah. I'd like to, of course, it's amazing. I'd love to stay in Edinburgh, but I also want a garden. And I don't know that we can have that in Edinburgh. You know, well, same with most places, are flats, you know. I want my own garden, like a little patio kind of thing out the front, and I have, you know, peppers and flowers and things growing there, but I want a proper real garden, you know, I want a vegetable patch and have to mow a lawn and things, you know, that would be really nice. But yeah, so I'd like to move out a bit maybe, but then I still want a city life, I want a convenience, I mean, I drive, but we don't have a car, I take my bike a lot of the places, or the, you know, public transport in Edinburgh is pretty amazing, so we don't feel we need a car, so that would become a problem if we, you know, moved out to the suburbs or moved out, you know, rurally, that we'd need, you know, some form of transport.
Do you like having the festival on your doorstep?
yes, I do. I love it, and I love being involved in it, and that's only because I don't have to go through Old Town or through Princess Street or the New Town to get to work. I can bypass the city completely to go to and from work, and then, you know, at night or on the weekends, just stop up and see lots of shows and then kind of withdraw myself from it. So I really enjoy it, but yeah, lots of people in Edinburgh despise it. But I love it. It's a great time of, you know, the city swells and there's so many people and, you know, all this vibrant stuff happening. It's, you know, it's amazing, and I think, you know, more people should in Edinburgh should embrace it more. You know, I think they're just so, we don't, not that they don't want it there, they just don't want it to disrupt their lives, you know.
You're looking forward to it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, really. I'm still quite calm. I thought with the questions I'd be more nervous, but I am, because I'm rambling. I've told you, like, these personal truths about me that, you know, like, I'm quite guarded, you know, I don't tell people that, you know, but general stuff, but, you know, I've told you I want a baby and this and that, you know, things that, like, I don't know that I would, if I just met you, I would really say that. I don't know why I'm putting my heart out. That's because I'm nervous and I'm bleh. It's all coming out.
How do you feel about being watched up there? Because you mentioned watchers, you called them
watchers. I think I'm comfortable with them watching online because I can't see them. I think, but if it, yeah, I think there's people in the audience that the watchers watching me. I think if I make eye contact, I think that'll make me a bit nervous. But I'm quite comfortable with it. I'm quite a laid back person, really. I don't know that it's gonna bother me so much. I'm a bit concerned with hecklers, but I think I'll just block them out and just carry on. And negative comments, obviously. I don't want people to say terrible things to me or about me. You know, I want everyone to love me. Not that. I don't think that, you know, you need to be negative to somebody. I just want everyone to have fun, and, you know, if you don't like it, go away. You know, don't tell us that you don't like it, just go away. You know, you don't have to stand and watch it. So
Do you find you've been thinking about it? Has it been playing on your mind?
Yeah, I think as I see more people go up, I get more ideas, and I think, I wouldn't have done that. I would have done that a different way, or I would have, you know, I wouldn't have. Who are you speaking to? You hear people talking a lot, and I think, you know, the people down the stairs can't really hear you. Are you saying that to yourself? Are you saying something because you want something to be heard yourself, or are you saying it for the audience at home? I don't really know why people do that talking thing.
I mean, if your friends in Australia are going to be watching me?
I don't know. I've told them all. I've not got any definites yet. I spoke to my mum, but my brother's getting married on Saturday, so they're all going to Adelaide. So my whole family will be in Adelaide for my brother's wedding. So I think they're going to perhaps watch it at the wedding reception, or parts of it anyway. So I thought, oh God, that'll be nice, really, really nice, but not really appropriate, I don't think, it's their day at the wedding, you know. It's not, oh, watch Fiona do this amazing thing in London, you know. It's not about me on Saturday, it's their wedding, it should be their special day.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. Probably, yes, no, everything. What would you like to know? I'll tell you my PIN number. Like, I'm in that kind of mood, I would like tell you anything. I don't know. No, thank you for the opportunity. Like, it's really amazing, and I don't know that I can put it into words. What, you know, just what a really great experience, and I hope I don't fall off. And I think that's it.
Thank you very much.